Thank you, Al, and this is Gabe Corey, and I'm here today with John Winters. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Gabe.
You might need to get a little bit closer to that.
Okay. Glad to be here.
Very good to have you here. Now, I've heard actually quite a lot about you, but I haven't heard you myself. I'm looking forward to it. I know we've had a lot of your friends on here, and we're slowly making the circuit of all the music here in St. Augustine. And just to remind everyone, we do have local live here. We do have a number you can call in, 797-1919, if you have some questions or comments. I'm going to give you, and I have another trivia question today to give you. Do we have some county fair tickets or anything like that?
I have something, yes. But if you'd continue on, I'll go out and get them. Make sure I have them.
All right. Well, we'll do that.
I'm going downstairs.
All right. In the meantime, where are you from originally?
I grew up in the Boston area, and I grew up just south of Boston, kind of moved out of the city and into the suburbs, and went to high school in a small town called Easton in Massachusetts.
Right, and you don't really have the Boston accent except when you say Boston. That's the only time it came through.
There's a few words in there that'll give me away.
Uh-huh. Words with R's especially.
Yeah, words with R's.
So you came down, did you come down here from Boston, or where did you go?
Yes, came down here in 89 and really fell in love with the town and thought that it would be a good place. Certainly the music scene here was wonderful. And
Even in 89.
Yeah. And I thought that it would be a really good place to be able to be. And so relocated here and got started scrounging around and picked up a few gigs. First place that I played at was a place called Passport Joe's that was out on the beach at the time.
Yeah.
Barry Gaines, a really great guy, gave me a chance to get my first work in the area, and also started working shortly thereafter at the Milltop,
right,
and at Mikasa Cafe on St. George Street, and I still work there at Mikasa every Saturday.
Yeah, you were saying
from 1 to 5, and still work regularly at the Milltop also. So those places are kind of home away from home.
You work at the Milltop too, you said?
Yes.
Do you have a regular day that you play there?
Or? I have the third Sunday of each month I play right upstairs from 1 to 5. And then I'm on the weekend rotation with one of the bands that I work with in town. And that ends up, we do a weekend there once every 3 months probably.
Sounds great. Before we continue, I want to give our listeners a chance to win. What are they going to win, Al? We're winning two tickets to courtesy pass to the
St. John's County Fair,
which is the ladies that were just here. If you were listening, they're going to be performing there, so you can hear them live. They sounded great live. They sounded great on the radio, actually.
I'm glad you were here to hear them.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to them on the way in. But anyway, this is the question today is, this was the longest song ever released as a single. This was released in 1968. At that time, it was the longest song ever released as a single, and it paved the way for other songs, long songs like American Pie and Layla. So if you know what it is, give us a call, and you'll get two tickets.
797-1919. Call us when the artist is not playing, and we'll be glad to take your call.
So if you know the name of the song, if you know the name of the group, that'll help, but I want the name of the song. All right. Do you know who it is?
I can't guess. If you say yes or no, but don't tell me. No, I've got an idea. Okay. I've got it narrowed down to one or two.
Yeah, I do too.
Cool. All right. Before I go into
it, Lori thinks she knows what it is, though. She probably does.
Yeah, she's got that Cheshire cat smile. Before we do go into any more of your history, which I want to talk about, your background.
Let's
and
go ahead.
Just
we may have a winner right
stuff
here.
Oh, we got a caller in.
You're on the air.
I'm on the air. Al, is it Inagata DeVita?
Don't know. I was thinking about that one too, you know, but no, it's not Inagata DeVita.
Keep trying.
It's Inagata DeVita, I think, was 5 minutes. This is longer. This is like 7 minutes.
Okay.
Good try.
Right,
thanks for the call. Anyway.
All right. People calling in already.
Yeah.
My goodness, we have one listener tonight.
We have more than one, because
yes,
I just called my girlfriend. She's listening. All right. So before we do any more, I'd like for you to do a song for us.
Okay.
And, you want to tell us a little bit about the song, what it's about, and when you wrote it?
Well, most of the songs that I've got are older. I haven't been doing a lot of songwriting in the last 10 or 15 years, but I prior to that, I had done a lot of songwriting.
Same with me. I stopped for a while, and then I got divorced. So, you know, misery seems to bring out this songwriting.
Yes, misery is
so you must be a happy
person. Muse. Yes, when I'm happy, it all goes, you know, south in the handbasket.
So, anyway.
But this song, this first song that I'm going to do is one that's always been pretty popular with people that I play it for. And it's called Working Man Blues.
Working Man Blues.
And I wrote it in 1972. I was 20 years old. And wrote it because I had to bite the bullet and actually get a regular job.
Yeah.
At that time. And so
sucks.
I wrote this song about that experience.
Is this in your way, this chord?
No, I think okay. I'm going to be able to work with
All
it.
All right. Well, here we go. Working Man Blues. John Winters.
Punch my card at 8 o'clock. I punch it again at 5. Though I feel I'd punch anything that came within my stride. I tell you this, working baby is giving me those working man blues. To loosen my tie. Hey, when I think about you, baby, I swear that it makes me high. I'll tell you this, working, baby, is giving me those working man blues. I got a bad lot, I'm feeling sad, baby. Something you can do, cool. Oh Lord, Lord, there's something you can do. I see you step in my direction. Come on, take another step or two. Your eyes are like a fire, baby. They burn my body clean through. And I'm screaming, I ain't got nothing to lose. You see, I got me a case of those blue cuckoos. But when you're through with me, baby, I won't have no more working man blues. No more working man blues. I had me a case of them blues. Had me them working man blues. Had me them working man blues.
Really nice. Really nice.
Thank you.
So how long ago did you write that?
That was 72. That was a good number of years ago.
Now, I'm sure someone has said this before, but you had this silvery kind of a voice, a little bit reminiscent of James Taylor.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah.
We actually grew up in the same era, in the same...
I thought you were going to say the same neighborhood.
Almost the same neighborhood.
He is Massachusetts.
James Taylor spent a lot of time in and around Boston.
Martha's Vineyard,
spent a lot of time on Martha's Vineyard. And actually, back in the days before he became really famous, we actually worked a couple of the same venues together.
Well, so we have another call?
You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Scott Cohen.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, I think I know the trivia answer.
All right. What do you think?
Could it be Alice's Restaurant?
No, but that's another great... Yeah, that song is actually 25 minutes long. I don't know if it was ever released as a single, though, because
I wasn't sure, but I knew it was around 68.
Yeah, I actually have all the words, and I've tried to perform that before, but I can't remember them all. But that's a good guess. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, well, our mutual friend Mike Sweet plays that, you know, over the tune of Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, so... You ever hear him play that, John?
Hey, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, interesting fact about Stairway to Heaven is it was never released as a single.
Wow. No, I didn't know
that. Yeah, yeah. Pretty interesting. Anyway, thanks for calling in. We got another caller?
You're on the air. Good afternoon.
What's your name?
Yes. My name is John.
Hey, John.
Is it possible it's Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water?
No, another good guess. But now this song, I will tell you, is 7 minutes. 7 minutes long. So, but thanks for calling
in.
All right. Anyway, back to you. So you're playing now. You have your steady gig at Mikasa.
Yes,
give us a little bit better idea of exactly where it is in case somebody wants to come.
Well, it's about halfway down on St. George Street from either of the walking ends, and is right next door to the Florida Cracker Cafe.
Right.
Where I used to play also.
Is that still owned by Lynn Weeks?
Actually, no. I believe he sold it.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who owns it now. However, I worked there when Len was the owner, and he was a strong supporter of music.
Yeah, I know Len.
Well,
his son goes to school.
And we played there also. Mikasa is directly next door, just north of the Florida Cracker Cafe, and has a beautiful little brick patio garden area, and it's a great place.
Cool.
You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Who's this?
My name is Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, is the song possibly Hey Jude?
That's it.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah, Hey Jude.
Hey Jude.
1968. Awesome. It was the most commercially successful Beatles song ever. It was number one in 12 countries. Sold 5 million copies the first year.
What's your first name again?
Vicky.
Okay, Vicky. What I want you to do is, do you know where the radio station is located?
I think I know where the radio station is located.
That's a good start. Do you know where the Hess gas station is out here?
Yes.
Okay. Turn onto Lewis Point Road.
Okay.
And come right across Moultrie Road when the light is green.
All right.
There's a dirt road there, and just take it right to the radio station. And I'll have two tickets for you waiting here tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for calling in, Vicky.
Thank you.
All right.
I was thinking Convoy for some reason. That was a long one, too, in this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that it might be Hey Jude, but the other one was...
Is that what you thought, Lori? Come on, baby.
Yeah. Light My Fire was...
That one, I think, is 5 minutes also.
Light was another another long single.
Another interesting fact, I love this stuff, is when they recorded this, Ringo was in the toilet. And he made it out to the drums right before his cue.
Lucky boy. Oh, wow.
Get it. And also, Duane Allman played on this song. He was a... studio musician, and he got a lot of notoriety from playing on it, and so he worked doing different sessions for about a year, and then he started the Allman Brothers after that.
Wow. Now that I did not know.
Yeah. And one other quick interesting thing about this song is if you listen to the song, two minutes and 55 seconds into the song, you'll hear John Lennon say the word chord, and what he was actually saying, I hit the wrong chord. And then about two or three beats later, you'll hear McCartney say, he curses.
Oh, I'm going to have to. We're going to have to
listen closer.
Yeah, anyway, put the headphones on and listen to
that. I'm always interested in that, and I think other people are. Do you have? I was talking to you. Now you do. You did say you have some CDs. Do you offer them for sale when you're playing?
Yes, I do. I usually sell them at Mikasa. I recorded three different CDs over the years live at Mikasa, and they're just the vocal and guitar, mm-hmm. No overdubs or anything. Just kind of what you hear is what you get.
Nice. Very nice.
And quite a few people, will come in. There are a lot of people who come to Mikasa, and they come maybe once a year or once every couple mm-hmm. of years, and they'll come in and they'll say, "Oh, we listened to your CD, we put it on, and we feel like we're in St. Augustine."
Yeah, you know, that's true. We get so many tourists here, and they want a memory. Like last night, I played. You know, I play at Stogie's, and I had some people that were like, I often get people in there taking pictures of me, and I don't really know why.
A lot of broken cameras out there.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, I have a great face for radio, you know, and that's about it. But, yeah, I think people just want a reminder, a memento, and so having the CD and being able to take it back and just, it brings them back.
Yeah.
So it's a cool thing.
Yeah, I get a lot of people at Mikasa particularly that want to come up and take a picture with me. And I'm sure that I'm in a lot of video shots from around the world.
Me and too. They say, who is that tourist?
They'll be staring at it at some point and go, who is that guy? Why did we record that?
Now, you say you play with some bands too?
Yes. I have a couple of different bands that I work with in the area currently. One of them is called the Magnolia Possums. I play with a guy named Brady Green and Rob Peck in that band. And Brady and I will be at the Creekside tomorrow evening.
Yeah, I just saw an advertisement for that. I think it was in the Compass.
Yes, and Brady and Rob and I will be there on Saturday night. I also work with a band called Blue Sage Shoes. Chris and Deanna Kobnik actually live in Colorado, but they have a lot of ties to the area here, and they come out for a couple of months in the spring and a couple of months in the fall, and we play together when they're here.
And what do they play?
They play, Deanna plays guitar and sings, beautiful voice. Chris sings and plays bass and guitar. He's a fabulous musician. They're down in the Keys right now celebrating their wedding anniversary. And
that's
so
great.
I don't know if this reaches all the way down to the Keys, but
on the internet,
play louder.
Play louder. But on the internet, they can sure.
Well,
yeah,
talk to them if they're interested about being on the show. And anyone out there listening, if you're a singer-songwriter, you don't have to be performing anywhere. But, you know, if you're confident about what you play, where you're playing here, you're not playing in front of two or three people. Now, there might be hopefully more than two or three people listening out there. But if you want to share your music with us,
I also want to mention the other duo that I work with is called The Saners. It's a band that's been around in the area for a very long time.
Yeah.
And my good friend Will Besley is the other partner in The Saners, and we still work pretty regularly also. So between it all, with my solo gigs and the bands,
that's great.
I put together a half a living, and the other half I get from my day job.
Yeah, I know all about those. Well, you want to do another song for us?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
And tell us a little bit about this one.
This one is actually, let me see if I can remember when this one was written. I may not have it down here, but it was probably in the late 70s or early 80s that I wrote this song. It's a song called Marie, and this is another one of the ones that people will request from time to time. And I had also had a day job at this time working in a shoe factory. And I sort of started to toy around with the idea of writing a song about the people that worked in the shoe factory. And I tell this story sometimes live, so I apologize to all those who have already heard this story. But I wanted to write sort of a rock, a blues rock song called Warehouse Women, that would be kind of about the spirit of the kind of party on attitude that a lot of my my compadres and myself at the time had as the warehouse workers. But the song just came out as sort of a love ballad, a song about
that happens,
unrequited love. And so it never warehouse women never saw the light of day, but Marie emerged in its place.
Great.
So,
all right, here it is. John Winters with Marie.
For all the things you need, she had her station, me on the catwalk above the machine. Whistle blows 12:30. I think I'll make me some coffee machine. She sits with Lorinda, sipping coffee with the lips of the dream. Marie, 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 whoa. So long for you to come along. With you I belong, Marie. I hear her laughing through the whining and the chatter of gears. Her eyes are flashing through the dust of at least 100 years. Like a river flowing slowly down. Whistle blows 4:30. I feed my time card to the master machine. She leaves with Dolores, taking with her all my hopes and my dreams. Marie, 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 won't you look at me? Marie, 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 I've waited so long for you to come along. With you I belong.
Get to hear the song?
No, there was no Marie.
There was no Marie.
Dad was all excited there for a while.
Yeah, the songwriting process is sometimes about real specific things, and then other times it's just about more general things, or just a feeling or an idea. And so some of the characters that appear in the songs are based on real people, but they're not necessarily.
What about
would you include fantasy and imagination when you're talking. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely. And I've written songs that have those elements in them also.
Mm. Now the name Marie, does that have a certain significance?
It had no significance whatsoever. actually, when you're, and you probably realize this, Gabe, also as a songwriter, when you're writing a song is kind of a real short story.
It's a story.
Very short story, and it also has to fit in with meter. Time, the timing is very important. So for some things you need a two-syllable word, and for other things you need a three-syllable word, and so forth. And
it's
so
it's certainly the sound of the word,
right? And Marie was just the word that pops came in to me that sounded right for that name.
Yeah.
And the other ladies' names I needed three syllables for, so I ended up with Lorinda and Dolores,
which are both nice names.
Yeah.
Just to take a minute, I want to talk a little bit about our sponsor for this portion of the show is Flavors Eatery, which Al and I were there.
Yay!
Great place. If you haven't been there, they're on King Street. Have you guys been there, Flavors?
Yeah.
Yes, we have been.
Yeah.
We've been there quite a few times.
They have music also.
They have music. They have excellent music there. A lot of,
and it's a great venue to play. It's real intimate. You know, people are great. It's located about one block west, I guess, of the post office there, same side of the street.
Wonderful place.
Wonderful place. Jason and Laura run that place. Their hours are Monday to Wednesday, 11 to 3, and Thursday to Saturday, 11 to 9. They do have live music every first Friday and also every Thursday, I guess. Dan and Sharon are playing there. So
Go
by and check it out. They have a... I'm looking here. They have a very interesting espresso shake menu on top of their pizzas, which they top with greens.
Yeah, that's quite a meal. Better bring your appetite.
Yeah, it's a very good food. Real nice place. Worth checking out. You know, St. Augustine is known for its good food, and this place is right at the top of the list. So go check them out and let them know that you heard about them on Local Live. And why don't you do another song for us? We are... getting through time pretty fast. I want you to do at least three more. So.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to do a song that I wrote back in the mid-70s, and I was playing with a rock band that kind of morphed its way into a country rock band, and we were working in the northwest area of New Jersey, which is actually quite mountainous and beautiful.
Yeah.
Having grown up in and around Boston, I had only seen the parts of New Jersey that
look like
you
New
see
York
along
City.
Route 95.
Sea caucus.
Yeah.
And so once I moved there in the around 73 or 74 to play with this band and realized why they call it the Garden State.
Yes.
In any event, we were the only band in the area that didn't have a fiddle player and or a pedal steel player.
Wow.
We were trying to be sort of a country rock band, but without all the proper tools. And the manager of the band wanted me to write a country song, which I was not really familiar with, not really had never written a country song. And didn't really know that much about that particular genre. I was more of a rock kind of a guy at that time. And so this was my attempt at a country song.
Cool.
So it's,
and what's it called?
And this one is called Gone, Gone, Gone.
Gone, Gone, Gone.
Won't be long that I can make you
stay. 'Cause it's gone, 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 the feeling's left you. It's gone, 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 it's gone away. It's gone, 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 the feeling's left you. Now it's left you and it's gone, gone, gone for good. Feelings can't be bought and sold, I know. I could never make you feel as though I'm the only one for you to love, or even just the one you're thinking of. 'Cause it's gone, 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 the feeling's left you. It's gone, 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 it's gone away. It's gone, 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 the feeling's left you. It's left you and it's gone on for good. I don't understand it. What more could I do than to give you everything? Gave it all to you. To you.
I'm not sure. I think that had too many chords to qualify for.
I think so too.
Pat and your dog didn't die.
Yeah, the manager didn't care for it that much. He said, "No, that's not a country song."
It's like a John Denver.
But I kept it anyway.
Feeling. It's a beautiful song. I shouldn't say that about country music, though. I mean, if you listen to Willie Nelson's, got some pretty interesting chord changes in his stuff. So I was fortunate enough to hear him many times. Do you play any other instruments?
I play bass, guitar, electric bass. I used to play
some
keyboard.
Me,
oh, we've got
a call.
You're on the air. Good afternoon.
I just wanted to chime in and say it's a great show, guys. Really appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
You tell me your first name, we'll give you two tickets to the fair.
You know what? I'm going to be working during the fair. I'll be out of town, but
okay.
I can pass them on to somebody else. My name is Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Dave.
I want to know where you played in Northwest Jersey, because I'm a Jersey boy from Northwest.
Okay. I lived in Hackettstown.
No kidding. Yeah, we went to school. My daughter went to school at Converse College right there.
Wow. And we lived in Hackettstown for almost a year, and then we moved out to Bud Lake.
Oh, okay. So you played, what was the name of
And we played all around, actually we played all around New Jersey, but we played at a place on Schooley Mountain, just outside of Hackettstown.
Sure. It was
called the Gypsy.
Okay, sure, I've heard
at
of that.
At the time. Yeah. That was the local venue that we played at, and we played a lot in Madison and Morristown and Brunswick.
Okay, so you headed back east and south,
yeah,
again.
And we played all over the place. We went up and down the shore, but we were all living right there in Hackettstown, and then a little later on in Bud Lake.
Oh, fantastic, man.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Before. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank
we
you,
really
yeah,
appreciate
and let your friends
thank
know.
You.
Oh, we will, absolutely.
All right, thank you. All right, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that
like
was very nice.
Response.
Very
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, small world. Of course, St. Augustine, we get a lot of transplants.
That's
from
right.
Everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks from all over, especially from the Northeast. There's something about when you discover Florida from being in the Northeast, and maybe from other parts of the country too, but
yeah.
You just, a light bulb goes off in your head and it says, there's another way to live.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
don't have to shovel out. Your
yeah,
way to
when you
work.
Walk outside and it's 20 degrees and the wind is blowing through you. You know,
yeah. Like, so I don't miss the winter time at all.
Don't either. I like to visit, and it's nice to visit the winter, but it's.
I like to look at it in pictures.
All right. Now you're going to do another song for us. Please.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Here's. Here's one called One Way Love Affair, and I wrote this one in the early 80s, I think 81 or 82. And again, this song didn't really, it was just a thought. It wasn't really mm-hmm. any personal experience, at least not at that time.
Although I think a lot of people out there can identify with it.
Yes. Well,
me
it's
included.
Funny because a lot of times you do write songs based on personal experiences, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you base it just on a thought or a feeling, and then years later you will actually live through that experience, and so it's almost like a premonition
exactly.
of things to come. However, this one's called One Way Love Affair. Crazy how we give and we take, no know it ain't no mistake. You start me, then you stop me. It don't matter. I ain't blind, I can see, and it's okay with me for a red light. Dead in one way love affair. Yeah, yeah,
watching
your
fingers move around on there. Am I on?
Yeah.
I can't hear me. Now I can't hear
you. You're not supposed to hear you. I'm supposed to hear you.
Okay. That's right. You had it because I had it over there with his guitar. Mm. When did you start playing the guitar? What age?
I actually started quite young. I started at about 6 years old.
Did your parents play music?
No. I had a cousin who played guitar in a band at that time. He was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that it was really something that I wanted to do. So he gave me one of his old starter guitars, and I started flailing around on it. And he gave me a few lessons, and I took a few lessons. And I just spent hours and hours and hours as a kid. After school and on weekends, I would just look at the chord books and look at the little diagrams and,
cool.
and get my fingers into the right spots. And by the time I was about 10, I was doing little shows almost like I think of them as vaudeville shows that they had in that era. This would
right.
be the late 50s mm-hmm. and early 60s. And they were just troops that would go around to prisons and hospitals and dancers, singers, jugglers, comedians.
Variety show.
You know, yeah. just a variety show kind of a thing. And so I was part of this little troupe that went around, and I would come out and do my two songs and,
cool.
you know, get off stage. And when I was in the seventh grade, the Beatles had come out. And that was it. Had
yeah.
to get an electric guitar.
That's how I
have a band.
They were my first influence. Of course, I didn't start playing until I was 21, but I would listen to all their songs, and you know, in my head, I was going over because I played a little piano, so I would go over the chord.
It was a very exciting time.
Oh, it was.
And so I started a band in the seventh grade, and we started to actually get gigs. We got.
Wow.
Junior high dances. And
did you have a name, your first band?
Yeah, the name of the band was the Mosquitoes. And well, you had to have a you know, the
That's
Beatles
great.
You know, you had
yeah.
to have an insect name. So
the birds, yeah, there were
mosquitoes.
The birds,
but the Mosquitoes changed their name shortly thereafter to the Reactions. And the Reactions was my band.
A social statement you're making
from,
there.
From the seventh grade on through high school. And it was really a wonderful time because there were places where you could play as a kid and actually make money.
Uh-huh.
And you know, get
places
experience.
Actually that you can that you're not old enough to get into,
right?
Actually, where you could
and,
perform.
When I was in high school, we started actually working in some nightclubs.
Right.
And you know, we were 15, 16 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, that's great.
So it was interesting, but it was a very wonderful experience to have gone through, and I'm sorry that it doesn't exist today for younger musicians because there was, when I was in my teens, there was either a junior high school or college dance or a church dance every Friday and Saturday night. Everywhere you went, mm-hmm. there was one, and so there was
great.
Always an opportunity to
oh,
be able to
great.
Play.
Yeah,
and
I got YouTube
so
now.
I got to get my early experience that way.
That's
just
great.
By being able to work and make some money doing it.
That's awesome.
So.
That's great. I want to bring up my other sponsor for this part of the show. It's Present Moment, the cafe. Have you all been there? Lori's clapping, so you guys know about it.
It's
the raw food restaurant.
No, we have not been. Sadly and remissly,
Go in and check it out and let them know. You know, I recommend
it. Mention Gabe's name.
Mention my name. I play there. I'm playing there probably this Friday night. I try and play there every other Friday. They're on West King Street. They're like three blocks west of Ponce de Leon. And they do raw food, which doesn't sound appetizing, but it really is. And I'm going to drag you over there, Al, one of these days. But their desserts are great.
Playing? This
Friday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I gotta try it out.
Yeah, come on and try it out. Their desserts are great. Organic beer, organic wine, organic coffee.
What kind of desserts that are great?
Everything. All their desserts. I mean, they have like I think even like a creme brulee, but they don't do it with, you know, dairy products. Mm-hmm. And their chocolate cake and
right, and
their
there's
ice
no
cream.
Cooking involved, I
there's
believe.
No cooking.
Yeah, there's no cooking.
No hot cooking. Kitchen to suffer in.
This is true, but they put a lot of energy and effort, and it comes out. You can tell when you get the food. So anyway, give them a try. It's a great place here. We're very fortunate to have it here in St. Augustine. The Beatles. So I wanted to ask you who your influences were. So you probably the Beatles.
Well, the Beatles probably a great influence, no doubt, on all of us musicians. I'm not sure that there are many that weren't influenced by them. But my influences really started before that, because I was already playing. Mm-hmm. And so my earliest influences were more in the folk world, I guess, bands like the Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah.
Those were people that I was listening to and performing some of that material. Mm-hmm. And so those were the earliest influences, I think, that I really had, along with everything else that was on the radio at that time.
You ever do Charlie and the MTA?
Yes, I sure did. I did that song. Lived that song, yeah. Actually. Yeah. You can get caught on there sometimes, and you don't get
back
off
in those
in
days,
time.
It was only 15 cents.
Right, it was cheaper to get caught on there then, but definitely... Those were my earlier influences, and then, but probably overall, you mentioned James Taylor earlier.
Yeah.
James Taylor was a huge influence on me personally. Stephen Stills was another artist that was very influential to me in terms of shaping my musical future. And the Beatles. There are really a lot of influences, because I've always had.
And you can tell. Well, the Beatles, for me, just their chords were just, you know, they throw in chords where if you study music or you listen to music, you know, you hear pretty much in all music, pretty much the same dominant chords going to some minor chords, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like classical where you're going to get diminished and all this other stuff. But with the Beatles, they were just doing some chord changes that were really unique.
They did some fabulous things musically and vocally. Mm-hmm. Blue Sage Shoes, one of the bands that I work with, has been recently learning "Because" from the Abbey Road album, and that's a real bear, that song.
I'll bet.
And
hard
they make
to sustain.
They make it sound so easy.
Yeah.
They just sing it, and it just sounds like, oh, that's going to be easy, but boy, it's not.
Wow, that's cool. Well, now, when you play gigs now, what do you play? What music do you play? You play some originals?
I do some originals, but I do mostly covers. And in my solo, I do a lot of different things. A lot of Paul Simon, James Taylor. I do some Eagles, Harry Chapin. I do a lot of the singer-songwriter type.
Me too. That's what I do.
Of music and bands. And
what's great about it is I get people in Stogies that are in their 20s, and they all know this music. They all know Cat Stevens, you know, and Simon and Garfunkel, and all these songs. You know, they know them all. It's great.
I also experience that their parents listen to that music, and they listen to it as kids, and they've grown up with it, and they still love it
and enjoy it.
And so I get a lot of requests from young kids. you know, I wouldn't expect would be coming up and asking right. for a Simon and Garfunkel song or something like that.
Yeah, because last night I was playing Father and Son, Cat Stevens, and there's some young people in there that are singing along, you know, with me, and it's like, wow, this song was written before you were born, you know. Although I did learn, my son turned me on to Gnarls Barkley, Crazy. That song, Crazy.
Oh.
And it's really a cool song to play on the guitar, so I did learn that one, just something a little bit different. Well, we have a few minutes left.
Wow,
you want to do one more?
It's been almost an hour already.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed being here.
It's been great.
Thank you, Gabe.
And
you
Al.
Here. Thank you. And I'd like to thank Lori for coming with me and giving me moral support here.
Yeah.
Also.
That's great. Now, you've got time for one more. Do you have, which one do you want to do
okay,
for us?
Okay. Let's see. I'll do a short one.
Well, you've got 4 minutes, so then we can fade out.
Not a system music.
Right, yeah, let's not fade out. This is another blues song that I wrote, it's called It's the Blues.
How long ago did you write this?
This one is actually probably from the early 70s, 73, I think.
Cool.
I wrote this one.
It's the Blues.
So new to me, it's a bad thing. It's the blues. All these people getting on me, they make me come unglued. Dollar signs, they haunt me, they won't finish till I'm through. Yeah, they're trying. They're trying to see if I'll break in two. And Lord, I just don't know what to do. It's a bad thing. It's the blues. Well, my ship has started sinking. My friends can't bail me out. With buckets coming in and only spoonfuls going out. And I'm dying. Yes, I'm dying. Yes, I am. I'm dying to see if I if I don't make it to the final scene, it'll be a bad thing. It's the blues. It's the blues. It's the blues.
So much. That's John Winters on our show, and if you're interested in getting his CD or anything like that, please email me at local.live@yahoo.com. You can email me and I can contact John, and or you can go down and see him and buy one of his CDs there. I also want to quickly mention my other sponsor, and that's Cuban Corner, and that's over by A1A. Curtis has that little cigar bar there where he's got guitars on the wall. I don't know if you've been in there, but go in and check him out. He's over by A1A. This is Gabe Corey with Local Live. We'll be back next week with Saltwater Cowgirls. Please join us, and thank you so much for listening.